I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, boys. You hear the music. Time for me to update you on what's going on in the world of Hollywood, entertainment. Of course, we're going to have Craig Hoffman on at 9:20. He's covering the combine there in Indianapolis. Give us the latest there. We talked about some of Jay Gruden's comments yesterday earlier in the program.
Can I zone on AWOD for 30 seconds? I don't usually like to do it. Sure. I will put it on the clock.
Sure.
These guys all brought this up. You see the clock is going. I will stop. He has an opportunity to make $400 or $500 on the weekend. I'm not exactly sure what.
Well, that might be over.
Is it a one-off or every weekend?
A one-off. This weekend, he has an opportunity
to
make as
do?
Much as $500.
Depends
I think
on what you
maybe
have to do.
Deal blackjack or something. Something really stupid.
Deal roulette.
Okay, right. And he's choosing not to do it because he has a buddy's 25th birthday party. That's it. I'm out.
Yeah.
How dumb is he? He's got no money.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's just happy being broke.
Whereas
some guys are just
money
happy being happy. It doesn't really mean anything to him. He's got his mommy.
It means more to you that he doesn't
it's just
work
idiotic.
For it than it
Again,
does to him to work for it.
The things I get as I'm typing up this spot for Metropolitan
must be talking
storage.
About AWOD. I came in late
yes.
to the conversation.
Yeah.
When's he going to have an opportunity to make $500?
Never.
I mean, when am I going to have an opportunity to go to a party filled with JMU sillies who are going to be drunk looking for love?
Every
I got to
take
advantage.
Every weekend.
You need the $500 more than you need to try
gonna
to strike
get no
out
love.
With sillies.
You're going to get Zippy Love, but if you do, she's going to look like, you know, I don't know. One of the donks on the Redskins offensive line, Ty Nisecki or something.
I should just pay you $500 out of my pocket to avoid hanging out with those sillies and potentially ruining their lives.
You have no game. You never pull any sillies. You always pull poop. Just get hammered. Waste money.
Where's the party? Is it local?
Yeah,
you know, now we're way over 30. Nah.
Well, you brought it
well,
up.
You did
I said 30 seconds.
Yeah,
nothing,
okay, but it's not.
Nothing
it's all,
last,
now,
three.
Now I have to.
What
you,
last 30 seconds on the show? Nothing.
You have to, and you know. Expand
Jason,
on it now.
Jason, so a member at Bellhaven is having a charity casino night.
Yeah.
And
okay.
He asked me to deal blackjack at it.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say a specific amount, but I gave Adam the range.
Right.
And he also said that if he knows anyone that could do roulette, to ask them and let them know. And I asked Adam, and Adam turned it down.
What does it require?
For the amount of money that
the
ball.
By the way, all you got to do is put
the ball
in the
cylinder. I'd consider doing it. I'm straight up serious. If it was the amount that he said,
yes.
I would do it.
Drab T-shirt loves roulette. I don't know why he's not throwing his hat into the ring. He loves it.
Tell the wife, you got to watch kids. I have to deal roulette. I know you don't deal roulette. Whatever. Spin the wheel.
Yeah, you just spin the wheel.
Spin the wheel.
We do it once a week here.
I turned down Kylie Jenner for $500. I don't know what AWOD's doing.
Is that your number one or something? Kylie Jenner?
No, I mean,
maybe it's just that this is a wider take. Maybe millennials just don't care that much about money. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
Believe me, he doesn't represent millennials. I mean, on some level, he does.
Yeah.
He represents the dumb millennials.
He's just uniquely stupid.
Do you make that much money working here in a week?
In 1 week.
Yeah.
That's a week's worth of work.
Instead, he just has
in
to.
3 hours.
He's not interested.
Listen. Be at a party.
I get the sense.
Have you guys not
wheel.
Seen JMU girls recently? I mean, they are the hottest of all the Virginia schools.
Is he
I got to take
a bit,
advantage
he,
of this opportunity.
Is he doing a bit? He's doing a bit, right? He's not that stupid.
Okay, done.
He's not going to.
Play the music again.
All right, Kelly Ripa apparently finally came to the defense of her co-host, Ryan Seacrest, on Thursday. Apparently, she took a dig at him on Wednesday. You know, he's in the middle of all these allegations. He, of course, and his attorney, they're like vehemently denying them. He says it's been a full investigation. They found no evidence, not a single shred of evidence that any of this stuff occurred. And so that's why E is sticking with him. She said publicly, I just want you to know, she said this on her show, you're a privilege to work with, and I adore you. She also said she's looking forward to seeing Seacrest on the Oscars red carpet, And speaking on behalf of all of us here, I know what an easy, professional, great person you are, and I feel very, very lucky to work with you each and every day. Now, the problem is there are insiders that are claiming that she's actually secretly pissed about this whole thing because it puts her show in jeopardy. She knows she can't go through another, like, search for a co-host anytime soon. And that behind the scenes, she's secretly livid about all this. So, who knows? She seems like she's crazy.
What if he walks around doing the interviews and he has a nick?
A chub? That would be weird if that was
he's accused of having a Bradley and rubbing up against women.
Right. But that was like...
Are you going down that road again?
We're playing the main
game. The main game's great, especially on a Friday.
You want to play the whole? Here's the thing: do you put how much stock do you put into something like that? And I would say on the range of allegations, that's lower, right? I mean, it's not rape.
It's assault.
Okay, I agree. Can't argue it. But didn't say anything for like 10, 15 years. So now you're just coming out with it after your attorney allegedly was asking for money.
But I can somewhat believe her rationale. Look, I haven't read enough about it, but I can somewhat believe the rationale where if you're making only a certain amount of money, yes, some people don't value money like that donk in that room. Mm-hmm. But if you're making only a certain amount of money and you have to support your kids, you're afraid that you could lose your job. Then all of a sudden you're SOL,
out of the job for years and years and years. Why didn't she say something?
Just the
later?
Me Too movement. Just yeah. Women just are feeling more safe.
Okay.
You know what doesn't give me a Bradley? Red carpets. It gives me the opposite
Jason
of a Bradley in my pants.
That's the only part of the show.
I don't get
that
size.
She gets rock.
Right, I only want to see the awards and the weird speeches and seeing people get played off with the music.
Yep.
I don't care what they're wearing, I don't care who they're there with. I don't care about the red carpet.
All right, this is weird. This happened back in 2006.
Most people don't.
Yeah, okay, but O.J. recorded an interview. Remember, it was called O.J. Simpson, The Lost Confession, If I Did It.
I do remember
I can't believe it's been 12 years since we talked about it. And apparently, they're going to re-air it. They scrapped it after bad press, the Goldman family.
Released.
They never released it. They're like, this is in poor taste. Come on. But
now they have the HD version.
But apparently they've pulled it out. They dusted it off. And OJ says something to the effect of everybody got it wrong. Forget everything you know about the night because I know the facts better than anyone. Simpson says in the teaser, this is one story the whole world got wrong.
That's just how white folks will do
it. And apparently what doesn't make sense to me, according to the Hollywood Reporter, both of the victims' families have okayed the move by Fox. I don't know what. Maybe they'll profit somehow from it.
They have to be getting something,
right? They must be profiting somehow from it. It's still amazing. So they have this civil court judgment against him. Where he's supposed to give, like, basically all his money.
Right.
But his money is so protected, they can't touch his pension. He gets $25,000 a month from the NFL. For his pension.
Wow, that's a sizable pension.
And he's got a $5 million Screen Actors Guild pension.
What?
That he has access to.
For being a Naked Gun?
And they can't touch that either.
They can't touch that either. That's why OJ can live like a frigging king.
Yeah, yeah. Is he living in Florida or is he in
Vegas? I think he's still in Vegas. I don't think they'll let him leave.
You see, he was sitting against the glass at a Golden Knights game.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
He had silly seats.
He was right up there.
I mean, OJ's doing his thing.
Banging on the board with his gloves.
I wonder how many people.
I hate that move, by the way. I hate it in any game where people just start banging on the glass. It tilts me every time I see it.
Meanwhile, you
everyone
boo.
Does it.
Meanwhile, you actually go, boo.
First of all, I'm never at games. Second of all, very selective booing. It's not like from start to finish of the game. It's a very rare occasion. It's way different than the wackadoo bang on the glass.
I don't think it's way different.
It's way different.
Drabby, can you explain this to me? So now, apparently, you can watch UFC pay-per-view events on Amazon. Now, it's not like you can watch them for free. They say it'll cost you $64.99. Now, is that a discount versus what you're paying your cable provider? Why are they saying this allows for skipping some of the irritation of purchasing matches through your cable provider?
I think sometimes it's just a pain in the ass to do it through the cable provider.
And why is it easier with Amazon?
Well, it's right there. And you just go right to your computer. You can put it on your Fire Stick or whatever you have. And I think UFC pay-per-views are $70. So I don't think you're
getting a little bit of a discount.
Oh, I thought you said $69.99.
$64.99.
Oh, maybe
so they
it is,
do
yeah.
say it is reducing cost.
That might be the standard def cost.
Oh, you
they
why,
still do that?
Why
bit?
Even offer? I can't believe that that's even an offer.
I don't know, but it's
point.
In the ballpark. They vary depending on the cards.
We talked about this the other day, but Mike Patrick, ESPN, kind of, I don't know. Turns out they may have been the ones that really pulled the plug on this, where he was sort of forced to retire. He's 73 years old now. He's been on the show many, many times. And he did a radio interview recently where he said, you know, it was a decision they made that I agreed with. He said he's had a couple offers, but they sound too much like work. He said, if it's something I love, you know, I could do ACC basketball again, which I think, you know, but he doesn't think that opportunity is really going to arise for him. He would do that. Yeah. But it doesn't sound like he wants to just chase any hoop game broadcast.
Nor you know, should
not
he.
Pete. Well,
he
not going to be like Pete.
He's
Pete
got plenty of money. He's got plenty of money.
Yeah, and he says, frankly, he says the travel now is awful.
Yeah.
And it gets worse every day. It'll continue to get worse. I'm so sick of airports. Can you imagine? Mike Patrick did his whole life. He's 73 years old.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of
airports,
been doing
it for 50 years.
Crowded planes, cancellations, you name it. It's made it very difficult, not the job, but just a very difficult existence to do your job.
Valdez, you,
know
you may have
so
somebody
okay
who can spin the wheel
Drabby,
on Saturday
I
night.
For Mike Patrick next week.
We'll go.
By the way,
because he hadn't done the show in years, but he would be a great guest.
He used to come
guest.
On all the time.
He'd be a great guest. He
is speaking
great
of guest. Traveling, and I hate to bring him back into the conversation, I know that AWOD is grasping
oh my God,
at
you
going
can't
to
get
spring
off
training.
Of
I've
with us.
Yes. Is this a bad idea? I offered him a bed in my room if he is able to pay for
it's
the flight.
It's a terrible idea, but there's one oh, there's one fine. Person that would do it, it'd be you.
Well, I just feel bad.
I'd do it,
like,
too. I mean, that's fine.
I mean, he has no money. Is he really going to spend it on a silly hotel room?
I will not offer
at the Paris?
Bed.
Probably not.
Well, are they thinking about sending him down
Hilton,
there?
For people
I don't know.
That aren't following.
Yeah. He's got to basically pay his own way, though.
And
Maury's going to pay for his plane
Maury
ticket.
Maury feels bad that he doesn't get to go, so he's going to buy him a plane ticket.
Right.
You're kidding.
That's what AWOT said.
This is why he doesn't care about money, because his parents keep bailing him out.
Yeah.
Just giving him a hand. You know, he gets bar mitzvah money still.
No,
come on. He alluded to it.
I got Hanukkah gelt, all right? You guys act like I'm a spoiled kid. Come on.
Well, I mean, there's no zero motivation. Your goal in life is to live with six dudes.
And host a radio show also.
Right, but what is, I mean, what is... Like,
but you'd probably very quickly skip your podcast to go to a 25-year-old birthday party.
No.
You know, one of the reasons why...
More like Hanukkah felt.
We were able to do what we did is because when we did our cable access show for free, right, and did it for a year, we pretty much did it every week. And JP was driving back from Philly, and Jason was doing whatever he was doing and trying to drive back from Philadelphia at that time, too, when he was doing stuff with the Eagles. And Cakes was like... Hicks skipped a few, but basically he was taking off shifts from his job.
I had to sell Power Rangers to the kids. He was married already.
We made it routine. You had to make it routine. You had to do it and treat it like a job. I hope you're treating yours like a job.
100%, but I think the reason it works so well for you guys is because you have such a close group, and you had each other helping each other out. I'm by myself. You know, I'm trying to do a show. Trying to entertain people, but I don't have Lurch, Jonan back and forth making it easy.
Well, of course, you don't have the natural content. You're not as talented.
No,
that's
the point
obvious.
Is, but again, you're missing the
but
point.
The point
Eric
is not
was
that.
Talking about
the point
work
is
ethic.
Making the routine of it. You treat it like a job. You do it every week. Don't start telling me that it sucks because you don't have anybody to play off of. That's your own fault.
No, I know. But you act
I'm
like you haven't
you.
Listened to the show. I've been doing it every single week for you know,
okay,
162
but, you know,
weeks.
I don't think that's true
that's
at all.
False.
I think you just lied.
You lied.
That's a made up number.
You went to your brother's bachelor party or graduation or something, and you skipped.
Just
did
make
you not,
it a priority.
Did right, you not skip that week?
I did skip one week.
Okay,
I got
but
great
you just
content.
Said you did every week.
I did great. I got great content from my trip to
Will
Richmond.
Will you admit that you just lied?
You did lie. You just lied. You said you did 62 straight weeks.
Yeah, I skipped it, but then I made up for it. I did a Wednesday
Did you
broadcast.
Lie or not?
He did.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's a lie.
I mean, what do you mean? It's a white lie then. You know, it's
whatever.
A little one.
Okay, Hope Hicks.
I don't know who that is.
Of course.
Open
of course
my
you
head.
Don't. You ever read a newspaper?
No. Actually, no.
Clearly not.
I do the well, Sudoku. I'm, that's it.
What does he do?
Sudoku. Stupid word. Number puzzle. Word puzzles.
Do they still have
number
that?
Puzzles.
They have that in the newspaper?
Yeah.
They don't do crossword.
It's near the comic section.
You don't do the crossword puzzles?
He probably does the jumble.
Those are two out. Those are out of your league, right?
Anything with numbers. Letters go over my head.
By the way, management works quick around here. I just got a message. AWOD is not going to spring training. He needs to be here doing his job.
Would have been great content. I mean, because Cakes is going to get locked outside the hotel room again.
Good for rating.
No, he's not.
Please, I learned my lesson.
That's not that type of environment.
Do you have an ep kicker?
I don't know. We could do a Chip and Joanna story. Everyone's joning on their new restaurant.
Nah, we don't need
that. I don't even think that's true. I don't. There's another hot teacher thing, but, you know, we're kind of over that.
Depends on how hot she is.
Here's one, though. And
is,
I
there, is it
you,
a study?
I bet you Dravy is one of these four. I will bet you a lot. Have you seen this? I'll bet you a lot of money.
I'm aware of the story.
Almost one in four guys have watched male-on-male porn, according to a new survey. Straight men.
Wow.
Researchers at YouPorn. That's hilarious.
How do I get that job?
That is hilarious. I think you already got that job. Found that 24% of heterosexual men say they watch gay content.
YouTube is much better. All right, what about Eskimo Tube?
Not my thing.
Meanwhile,
some guys are intrigued.
Meanwhile, you seem to perk up over there.
No. You're just making me laugh.
If I had to bet
I look guilty because I'm laughing.
If I had to bet the room, I would go, no. Yeah. Maybe.
No. I think Jason, let me tell you something. Jason's a maybe.
Only on accident.
Oh, yeah. You're a lot of glee talk.
I look so guilty because
you're a lot of glee talking about skipping back in the day.
I look guilty because I'm laughing about it.
There's only one guy in the room who had a best friend who would say, hey, look.
Lie detector. Just one question.
I said...
Not on accident. Not on accident.
Oh, I haven't done it.
Purposeful.
I haven't done it on purpose. No.
Hey, call up our guy. One question. I'm not going to violate anything.
No. I might fail.
No, I don't. Trace McSorley highlights don't count.
Hey, have you ever clicked on this one by accident?
Let me see.
Okay, no, this is not for the cameras. So get the freaking cameras away.
Let me see it.
Okay.
I'm just curious.
You clicked on this one by accident.
Let me see it.
Oh, that is hurting.
Yep, hold on.
It's a lot of writing down going on
get
here.
Get the cameras away
they're
from
off,
Jason.
They're all off, don't worry.
Get the cameras away
Everybody
from
knows
him.
What that says anyways.
Did you see what I wrote?
No, but I bet my life on it.
Oh, my God. Not by accident.
I freakazoid.
Knew it.
I freakazoid.
I knew it!
That is so
guilty!
Hard.
And Dravy too!
Let me in. Don't let me in.
Dravy too! Oh. Guilty!
Wow.
Sometime he looks good.
Done. All right, who are we doing next? Who do we have? Hoffman?
Seahawk.
Yeah, Seahawk.
Are we going to really go from this to
we
Seahawk?
Have to. That's the way the show
We're
works.
Talking about the combine.
I don't know if I can ask one question.
I got questions for you during the break.
Oh, I bet.
All right, don't go anywhere.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. You know what? I haven't looked at social media, but I guarantee a million people at Junks Radio are asking... What is the search term which EB wrote down, which Jason confirmed? I'm not going
to
answer.
We'll have to do an appearance somewhere, and I'll tell you.
It'll be an ask me
You won't let me
appearance.
Answer that, right?
What?
In person,
Could
Jason.
Could I write it down to all the people that are tweeting at Junks Radio?
No, you have to meet us somewhere or
something. Yeah.
You
got
to
meet us and then pay me. You got to pay me. Pay me for the answer.
I mean, you can also pretty much guess.
I don't want to get that out there because... I don't think I was capable of guessing that.
Sure.
What?
Quite honestly, when you said you were going to write down a search term, I don't think that crossed my mind.
What term were you guessing? Write it down.
I couldn't even think of one. I was like, what the hell is he writing down?
Shocker Drabby nailed it immediately. He's all over it. Because I guarantee he's in the same category.
He's a freak, too.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, join us right now from Indianapolis.
I mean, 100%.
Covering the combine is our Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman. Craig, you missed quite a discussion.
Drab's blushing.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah,
this is what we do on Fridays,
buddy.
Probably
better that you missed it. Probably better you're on the sidelines for this one.
All right.
I'm just a straight-laced reporter, gentlemen. I don't know anything of what you speak.
Right.
All right, so I don't know where to begin. Maybe
Barkley. I want to talk about Barkley.
Well, hold on. Then we'll talk about maybe Jay's comments yesterday. Mm. Anything jump out at you? It was so funny when he was talking about the running backs. He listed about 9 of them, and yet he acknowledged they still need one. Here's the thing. If they draft a running back high, which I think they probably should, right? Of the core, who's out? They're only going to keep 3, right? Maybe 4, but I assume they keep P. Ryan. I assume they keep Thompson. I mean, is Kelly's spot locked?
No, Kelly's spot's definitely not locked. I mean, I think P. Ryan, Thompson are the two that are definitely on this roster next year. And remember, you know, for as nice of a story as Rob was and could be, because I still think if he's healthy, like, he's a useful back in this league. It's not like he's not an NFL player. But he was an undrafted guy. It's not like they're going, oh, man, this is a guy we spent high draft capital on or any kind of money on. He's an undrafted guy. So that doesn't really anchor him in if he is not one of the best guys on this roster. So I think they would like to get a duplicate skill set to Thompson, and that's where guys like Capri Bibbs and Byron Marshall potentially come in. Obviously, neither of those guys are locked either, but they kind of have that third down, can catch the ball out of the backfield, can split out wide, can do all those kinds of things that CT does, just not as well as CT. So if they can get that duplicate skill set, and then Jay said he would like another guy kind of like Pirine, who is more that banger, I tend to lean towards, you know, that high pick being another speed guy, being someone who could make big plays, as opposed to a more Samaje Perine short yardage type of back, which is, I think, what Perine hopefully can become. But it's certainly something where they're definitely going to keep 3, but they had 4 for as long as they could last year until they had to let Mac Brown go, which is something they absolutely did not want to do. They just had so many injuries elsewhere that they had to make that move.
So why does he bother? Like, right away mention Capri Bibbs and Byron Marshall and those guys. I mean, they have a shot? They can't have a shot.
Yeah. No, they do. Marshall and Bibbs have a shot. Not both of them, obviously, but one of them could absolutely make this team. I mean, they really liked what they saw from Marshall last year in terms of the pop that he showed, and they think if they can develop him and spend some more time with him, he could potentially be a pretty good weapon and develop in a way similar maybe even to Thompson. I don't know if he has the mental makeup. Actually, I know he doesn't have the mental makeup that Thompson has, because Chris's, you know, mental side is just so uniquely special. Bibbs, you know, had some nice plays last year, and I think they see him as a guy whose spirit they love and obviously whose skill set they like a lot. And so if one of those guys has a really good OTA session or a really good mini camp, really good training camp, they could work their way onto this roster. Although I do think, obviously, that equation changes. If they draft a guy with a similar skill set, that guy automatically jumps those two.
All right, what did you make of Jay's comments regarding Sue Cravens? He acted like the first he had heard of it was when he saw it on TV. And my take from that was him saying that's not true. JP's take on that was, well, he's just out of the loop. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, no, I think that's more of he's out of the loop because he was doing all their meetings and other NFL combine-related activities. And so he gets to his spot that he's, you know, taking in wherever he's watching television. And he goes, oh, well, that's interesting. I guess we're trading Sue to the Broncos. And so, you know, it's one of those things where he's not involved. Like, he's going to be kept a bridge of things going on with the roster, right? Like, he's probably been told, yes, Sua Cravens is probably not going to be back, and he's probably involved in that decision of Sua Cravens is not going to be back, and he's going to get traded. The actual trade itself, working it out, calling other teams, and how imminently it happened, that's not Jay's department. And so him, you know, in some level it's semantics, him learning that, oh, we could be trading Sua to Denver, that, yeah, he did probably learn that on the ticker. And, you know, there's no reason for him to know prior unless, you know, it was imminent, and clearly it wasn't because that trade hasn't gone through yet.
Right.
All right. So what about Saquon? Does he go today or are the running backs tomorrow?
It depends on. So he bench pressed yesterday.
Right.
The workouts, I believe, for him are today. There's so many different things going on out here. It's kind of crazy with the schedules and how they sparse it up. But I believe his running back group does go today on the workouts. And then he did his press availability and bench press yesterday.
Is he being compared to anybody athletically over the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years? Because he's so strong, especially in the lower half. I mean, his thighs and his butt are just so strong. His powerlifting numbers are going to be crazy. His squatting numbers are crazy. And then his vertical is going to be nuts. He's such a sick athlete. He's fast. Who is he being compared to if you're talking to anybody about him?
Yeah, I haven't heard. Everyone's like comment on Barkley is just like, wow. It's not even trying to compare him to other guys. Because to have a back that was as good sideline to sideline as he was, a guy who can truly get the edge, who is that fast, who's going to run probably sub 4.5, you know, somewhere in the 4.4 range. I don't think he's going to drop down to the 4.3. That would be ridiculous. Like, at that point, just end the combine.
If he runs in the 4.3 after putting up
29 on the bench, just end the combine, have the draft, announce him as number one, then we can worry about everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
It's unprecedented, really, to have a combination of size and speed that is him. And the thing is, too, he's smart and he's got vision and he can catch. Like, he's just a complete back in a way that, I mean, I guess Elliott would probably be the best comparison in recent memory that I can make, a guy who can truly do it all. Elliott was seen as the best pass blocking back that we've seen in a long time. But, like, there was always a little underbelly, even with Elliott, of some of the knucklehead stuff that we've seen as he's gotten into the league. You know, obviously some of it's beyond what he's been accused of doing and been suspended for is beyond the knucklehead level, but even just like the general day to day, like pulling down the girl's top at that parade, whatever, you know, the young, more knucklehead kind of stuff, like Saquon seems pretty mature and just, you know, as a person, on a different category than say Elliott was as a prospect. So it's pretty unprecedented. I mean, for in the modern NFL, for even though running backs are coming back around, for someone to be widely acclaimed like he is, as and potentially in play for the number one pick, he has to be an outrageous prospect. And so far, from measuring in at 6'2", 233 to repping out 29 on the bench press, to we'll see what he runs, he's checked every box.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other running backs that you're looking forward to seeing? You know, let's talk about Geis, Ronald Jones. We've been talking about the Georgia backs, Michelle and Chubb, Royce Freeman out of Oregon. I mean, there's a bunch of guys. It's a pretty good class for running backs into, you know, I don't know, even to the fifth or sixth round, I would think.
Yeah, no, all the guys you mentioned, plus Rashad Penny of San Diego State, the kid out of, I think it's John Kelly, out of Tennessee, who replaced Alvin Kamara at Tennessee. Yep. You know, he's a guy that a lot of teams like. I actually spent a little time around his media scrum yesterday, and he was personality-wise a treat. So, you know, if he comes to Washington, I'd be happy selfishly from a media perspective, because the guy's just a fun guy. Who seems to have his priorities in place in terms of the things that are important to him, football-wise and all that kind of stuff, but also not taking himself too seriously. So he's a lot of fun. To me, Michelle is the most interesting guy, because I think he's a guy who can sneak back into the first round. And if he runs a good time, if he goes out and runs 4.3, he probably is a late first-round pick. And this is a guy that I've been beating the drum for the Redskins ad nauseum. And if he doesn't, if he runs high 4.4s, low 4.5s, then maybe he does slip to Washington's availability. He was interesting yesterday. He said one of the things he takes a lot of pride in is pass blocking, and I could just hear Jay Gruden drooling upon hearing that kind of answer. You know, a complete back kind of guy. Michelle, I think, is that. Chubb, you know, for as much as we talk about Barkley, and obviously he's the much, much better prospect, Chubb also repped out 29 on the bench press yesterday. So you talk about a super strong dude. Nick Chubb checks that box, but I wonder if he's more in the P. Ryan category, where he's not going to have the burst and acceleration ability to succeed in the league. I think he's better than P. Ryan, but he's that same kind of body type and the same style of runner. You know, Jones out of USC is another guy who can catch it a little bit out of the backfield. So there's kind of something for everybody for the running backs in this draft, and that's a good thing, obviously, for Washington, because they want that complete back. They want someone who could do a little bit of everything. And there are those guys. It's just, you know, how high you go to get the guys who can do it, you know, all those things better than everyone else.
All right, Craig, we got to run. It's Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter. Enjoy the rest of your weekend in Indianapolis.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. See you, boys. Have
Thanks,
a good weekend.
All right, you too, bud.
All right, man.
I don't know if it's unprecedented. It may have happened once or twice before. Yep. But we're about to have Kevin McCarthy on the show for the second time.
Yes, I think it's happened once or twice before. Yeah. But it's rare.
I said I don't think it's unprecedented. We didn't have time to talk about the Academy Awards with him.
Yeah, we were talking about the top five interviews he's ever done with chicks. Too much Jennifer Lawrence before we can get to the Oscar.
I mean,
talk.
He dropped such a big time statement about his relationship with Jennifer Lawrence.
Do you have that queued up and saved? We play that when we come back. By the way, should we bet? Is he so good that we can bet on his picks?
No, because he wants Get Out to win the Academy Award for best Picture, and he's got like no shot.
Well, I don't want what he wants. I want him to pick what's going to win. I don't care what he wants.
Some of them are overwhelming favorites.
I think he hits on a lot of those. Yeah, you'd have to pay a lot of.
All right. Just wondering if there's an opportunity here that we're sleeping on. Does he really know what's going to happen?
He doesn't know anything.
What's his track record?
Not good.
Okay. All right. Good.
No,
all right,
I'm sorry. I think that a lot of these, the overwhelming favorites are.
He pretty much goes with like Gary Oldman, the conventional wisdom is, right?
Yeah, what he reads in the paper.
It would be a shock if Gary Oldman didn't win Best Actor.
Right.
What's he in?
He was in the movie about Winston Churchill.
What's the name of that movie? Darkest Hour?
Yeah, that's it.
Darkest Hour.
Good pull.
All right, we'll talk to Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5 next on The Fan. Welcome back. Junkies on 106 on The Fan. Reminder, you can always check us out on the radio.com app. Download it. It's all new. It's fantastic. You can listen to 106.7 The Fan anytime, anywhere. And, of course, you can get your podcast at thefandc.com. Check out AWOD's videos if you like. Join us right now to talk some movies in the Academy Awards are on Sunday, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel. Is our pal Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5, Fox and Friends. Hey, Kevin.
Good morning, Jonathan Paul. How are you, sir?
Hey, curious. Did you do Fox and Friends this morning?
I did. Yeah, I did it at 5:20 this morning.
Because I'm always interested when you're on. I just find it interesting what comes on right before you and right after you. Do you pay attention? Like, what were they talking about right before you and then right after you? And sometimes it'll be like the Speaker of the House will be on and then the next segment is you.
Now, this morning, when I do the hits on Fridays, I'm in front of a flash camera. So it's kind of hectic because I don't see the show, but I also producers are talking to me, so I don't really get to listen to the show prior. When I'm in studio live, like, for example, if I go to 400 North Capitol, which is where the main studio here in D.C. is, that's when I'll be kind of, like, on with, like, the guests that you're talking about. Like, I was in the makeup chair one day with Kellyanne Conway, who was on the phone next to me, and then, like, it's crazy. Mike Pence came in one day. It was, like, it's very strange, like, being this movie guy in this environment because, you know, everything's so, it's very political. So, like, you know, Bob Woodward walked in that, what's his name, played him in All the President's Men. Robert Redford played him in that film. These are legendary people, journalists. So it's just weird, like, hey, I'm here to review Ninja Turtles or something like that. It's very strange, like, being in the background, like, and having all these people around me. It's cool.
So today you didn't deal with that. All right, so Academy Awards, I think you let it out of the bag, and I've seen on social media what you want to win may be different than what you believe will win for Best Picture. You want Get Out to win, which is the Jordan Peele movie.
Yeah, well, technically speaking, if I had my way, Dunkirk would win Best Picture. And we'll go through the major categories here. But Best Picture specifically, what you saw, JP, was Get Out being my prediction. And I'm 99.9% sure that I'm going to be wrong. And I'm not trying to do a bit or cop out from my prediction here, but theoretically speaking, and you guys all know about betting and statistics and how things factor into what's going to happen, but theoretically, the movie that's going to win Best Picture is probably Three Billboards, Jason's movie, because it won the BAFTA, it won the SAG, it won the Golden Globe. Then you have The Shape of Water, which is also a major contender here because that won the PGA, that won the Directors Guild Award. So theoretically, those are the two that any sane person should be choosing. I have a feeling about Get Out. Get Out is the third factor in the three front runners. It hasn't won any major awards. There's really no reason to pick it other than the fact that I think it's the better film of the three, and I think it could surprise. It won the Writers Guild. Jordan Peele's going to be winning the screenplay award on Sunday night. Also, he's nominated for Best Director. It has a Best Picture nomination, has a Best Actor nomination. I'm probably going to be wrong, but I'm going to go with Get Out. I'm kind of putting that good vibe out there to see what happens with it. But you're probably going to hear Three Billboards or Shape of Water on Sunday night for Best Picture. I want Dunkirk. Dunkirk's the one I really want to win. But Jason, I think that you're going to hear Three Billboards. I mean, if you're looking at statistics and number, that's the one you're going to hear.
Yeah, probably. Three Billboards looks like a slight favorite over The Shape of Water. Lady Bird, Dunkirk, and Get Out, all pretty significant long shots based on the
number. Yeah, Get Out is probably the closest to a possibility that any other movie could be if you're not Three Billboards or Shape of Water.
I will say this, though. Dunkirk was excellent. I thought Dunkirk was great.
Yeah.
I'd probably rate Three Billboards slightly better, but Dunkirk is really good. If it wasn't Three Billboards, I would vote for Dunkirk, no doubt.
I mean, I saw Dunkirk 9 times, so I saw it 6 times in theaters, and it was the greatest cinematic experience I've had personally in a movie theater, so I would love to see that win. And that kind of leads us to Best Director, because the director race this year is very interesting. The gentleman who directed Three Billboards is not nominated for Best Director, which I always find so fascinating that they can nominate a film for picture. I know they have a 10 scale on the picture, but only 5 nominees in the director. But to me, if you're going to give a film Best Picture, you have to understand that the director is the reason why that film is winning. He's the one that put the whole thing together, or he or she.
Or they might think, just to counter that, they may think that any director, given the script and the actors, could have a worthy film.
I don't know. I am very fascinated by that, because the director, to me, is the one telling the story. He's the one that's approving everything. He's the one getting the performances out of the actors. I mean, the 5 people who are nominated in Best Director this year specifically is a great list. Paul Thomas Anderson, who directed Phantom Thread, Christopher Nolan, who did Dunkirk, Jordan Peele, who did Get Out, Greta Gerwig, who did Lady Bird. And it really is a great category. I think it's going to go to Del Toro. So what's going to probably happen Sunday night is you're going to see Del Toro win for Shape of Water. He won the Directors Guild Award. And then they're going to give it to Three Billboards probably for Best Picture. So my prediction for director is definitely going to be Del Toro. I want Nolan to win. It's Nolan's first nomination, which is mind-blowing considering he made Memento, Prestige, The Dark Knight Trilogy, Interstellar, Inception, and I just can't believe he's never been nominated before. So just kind of goes to show you how out of touch the Oscars are anyways. I'm not really big on what they end up choosing in the long run. I don't think Three Billboards we're going to look back on in 10 years and go, wow, that movie really changed the game. I mean, out of the 9 films nominated, Get Out and Dunkirk are kind of the 2 game changers, in my opinion, from a psychological standpoint and also a filmmaking standpoint.
All right, Best Actor, Gary Oldman's a lock, correct?
No question. Yeah. Right. And this is this kind of upsets me, because Gary Oldman's my favorite actor of all time. And I don't think this is the performance he should win the Oscar for. It's a great performance. He was great as Winston Churchill in Darkest Hour. But to me, this is going to end up being a career Oscar for him. This is kind of like Denzel when he won for Training Day, even though Training Day was great. They were kind of giving it to him as like a make good for all the things he didn't win for prior to that in the leading category, specifically Malcolm X. But this, because he had won for Glory and Supporting, but this particular category is locked. Gary Oldman, no question, is going to win. But Oldman should have been nominated and won for like The Professional and True Romance and Immortal Beloved or Dracula or The Fifth Element. And the films he's been nominated for are decent, but they're good performances. So we'll see what happens. I kind of want Daniel Kaluuya to win for Get Out. The problem with Daniel Kaluuya's performance, and I think a lot of voters are going to have a hard time with this, is that he doesn't really say a lot. It's all about the internal element of his character. If you saw Get Out, that scene when he's in the chair and those tears start coming down his face, I mean, it is mind-blowing. But also, Get Out is only fully appreciated on the second viewing, once you kind of understand what's going on. So I don't think a lot of voters watch it more than
once. You understand, not that many people have the time to see it on the first viewing.
No reason to watch it a second time.
9 is crazy. All right,
so. Actually, you're JP, you're wrong. The second viewing of Get Out.
It's opinion. I liked it the first time. Don't need to watch it the second time.
No, but the twist at the end of Get Out.
It's not a fact.
Okay, it's not a fact. Have you seen The Sixth Sense before? You've seen The Sixth Sense, correct?
Yes, I have.
Okay. At the end of The Sixth Sense, Bruce Willis was dead, right? That was the twist.
Yes.
Okay. If you go back and watch The Sixth Sense one more time, isn't it interesting to see how everyone reacts to Bruce Willis while he's actually dead in the story? No one actually ever speaks to him. It's very interesting.
I knew his dad the whole time.
I can realize that, just thinking back on it. Anyway, I liked it. Let's get to the other category because we're going to run out of time. We have less than 2 minutes.
Best actress. Yeah, this is my girl, Frances McDormand.
It's my girl, Frances.
Yeah, I mean, what an amazing performance. And Jason saw 3 billboards. It really blew everyone away. The performance was absolutely incredible.
Why are you 3 people sleeping on?
Snoozing.
3 billboards.
I don't know.
Because it hasn't hit Redbox yet.
I don't know what you guys are doing.
All right.
When it hits Redbox, scoop it up.
Promise. You will like it.
She won for Fargo in 97 as a leading actress. So it's, she has this locked. She won the BAFTA, SAG, Golden Globe, everything. Critics' Choice.
All right, real quick.
This is no question.
Best supporting actor, best supporting actress.
Supporting actor will be Sam Rockwell, who's also in 3 billboards. And then supporting actress is definitely going to be going to Allison Janney for the I, Tonya film, which was
amazing.
And
by the way, you didn't put Margot Robbie in your top five. You only gave us 4. You had, I believe you had Kate Beckinsale 1, Keira Knightley 2, Scarlett Johansson 3, Jennifer Lawrence 4. You never gave us your 5th hottest actress that you've interviewed.
That's who I'll give it to then, because Margot Robbie, who I've interviewed, I think 6 or 7 times over the years, like, she's absolutely stunning, but even more stunning in person. So, yeah, earlier today, if you guys are just tuning in, I gave my top 5 most beautiful actresses that I've kind of met in person, and JP just gave the list.
But Margot Robbie, earlier today, you also said this about your relationship with Jennifer Lawrence.
That particular interview, to me, that's who she is in real life. Like, you see her in all these, like, talk shows for 4 minutes, and it's not really, it's too confined. Like, Stern kind of opened her up and kind of showed you. That's the Jennifer Lawrence I've met and known for, over the years. So.
Big time.
That sounds so much worse than it really is. That's not what I meant.
All right,
see you later.
What I was waiting for.
That's Kevin
McCarthy.
I need my direct TV to work,
on Twitter.
Please.
All right, everybody. Be safe.
Friend Danny next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.